Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I think you all know me. I'm Kristen Moreland. I was your intern over the year, and I am helping Rebecca out while she takes a much-deserved break. So, announcements. Because Rebecca is on vacation, normally there would be communion next week because it's the first week of the month, but because Rebecca will not be here, I'll be here again next week, we're just not going to do communion in July, and we'll pick that back up again in August. A reminder that we are back to passing the offering plate, so just so you're aware of that. And if you are willing to help out with the David Rao Memorial Luncheon, please see BJ. That will be on July 14th. She's looking for people to help with salads and sides. Are there any other announcements? Anything I'm missing? Okay. Please join me in the call to worship. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Please stand and join me in our opening hymn, My Hope is in the Lord.
Thank you.
join me now in the prayer of confession. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed. And grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Lord, have mercy upon us. Heal and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us declare our faith together by joining in reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let's greet each other. All right, you may be seated. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for our congregational anthem, The Woman Hiding in the Crowd, number 178. Thank you. Friends, let us pray. Steadfast God, you sent Jesus as witness that no one is outside your healing reach. Help us to trust the abundance of your love as we share your compassion and generosity wherever we may go. You created the world for good. Give to all leaders and people the wisdom to live in harmony with one another for the health of all creation. We pray for the unity of the church, that all may discover unity in Christ. Your touch has the power to make us whole. Restore all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, and strengthen us as we extend our arms in love to see and feel your healing. We pray for those affected by the building collapse in Miami, for those without homes, those still trapped in debris, the family and friends of those still missing, as well as those engaging in the rescue efforts. We rejoice in your presence, either through answered prayers or unexpected blessings. Thank you for seeing, touching, feeling, and healing us. Reveal your presence with us, God of life, that as people of renewed faith and vitality, we may be empowered to serve your world, and so give glory to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, and who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. Why don't we stand before we say that next part and join together in the hymn of praise, God is my refuge. Please be seated. Now it is in joyful response to all we have received that we now return our gifts by offering our tithes and offerings. present abundance, we offer our gifts to you, generous heart, so that the hungry might be fed, so that the broken might find healing, and so the grieving might be comforted. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture for today comes from Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How could you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside, took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha, kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord. So, when I saw this gospel reading in the lectionary, I just knew that I had to talk to you about it today. I really enjoy reading Mark because of his distinct way of telling stories. They're what we like to call the Markan sandwich. He starts off telling one story, gets interrupted by another story, finishes that one, and then goes back to the first one. The point of this kind of storytelling is to make us sort of stop and think about the greater meaning, the big picture. What is Jesus really doing in these scenarios? Why did Mark put these particular stories together? And I'm not sure about you, but when I first read through this narrative, I couldn't help but think, like, maybe this interruption was actually fatal. As I read a little deeper and spent some time meditating on the passage, a few things started to stand out to me, and then I caught a little earworm. The Who's rock opera, Tommy, kept coming to mind. "See me, feel me, touch me, heal me." I think some of you out there might be somewhat familiar, but just in case, the musical begins with a young boy, Tommy, witnessing an accidental murder. the adults, the perpetrators of said murder, in an effort to convince the boy that he had not seen anything, that he wouldn't speak about the accident, repeatedly tell him that he hasn't seen or heard anything. And their plan works a little too well, because Tommy becomes blind, deaf, and mute. Tommy is taken to several physicians and psychologists and other, let's say, less reputable healers, all to no avail. Tommy is often taken advantage of and preyed upon. He's unable to fight back. He's not even able to tell anybody what happened to him. And that refrain, "See me, feel me, touch me, heal me," it's brought up several times within the musical. See, Tommy is an outcast primarily because of his differences. And while healing does mean regaining sight and hearing and speech, what he and other characters in the musical are really asking for, reaching for, is to be seen and touched, to be recognized. Now, at the beginning of the gospel passage, Jesus is approached by Jairus. He's a high, holy official of the synagogue. He has religious and social status, probably a little wealthy. He's an important guy. Now, Jairus is worried about his sick daughter, and it looks like she might not survive the illness. And he, like pretty much everyone else around, knows that Jesus has been healing people left and right. Jesus starts on his way to see Jairus' daughter. But on the way, he feels something strange happen. A little bit of his power is weakened. He stops in his track. He looks around. "Who touched me?" And this seems like an odd question. He's already surrounded by a crowd of people. Could have been anybody. And then one woman comes shyly forward. She admits that he thought that if her hand could just brush against Jesus' cloak, that she might be healed. You see, she had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. She wasn't just struggling physically. Hemorrhaging has affected her entire life. She spent all the money that she had going to all of the best doctors and specialists until she became destitute. Her condition made her lose friends. Family members ostracized her because she was unclean. I mean, I can definitely imagine how messy chronic hemorrhaging would be. But not only was she like literally messy, she was also socially and religiously unclean. Anyone who encountered her was required to perform these cumbersome cleansing rituals. So most people avoided her. The woman seems afraid. Maybe she expects Jesus to be angry? I mean, she took this initiative to touch him. She made him ritually unclean. She knows the rules. Instead, Jesus takes the time to talk to the woman and listen to her whole story. Even though she is penniless, even though she is physically and socially and spiritually unclean, Jesus looks the woman in the eye. Jesus sees her. Jesus touches her. Jesus didn't just physically heal the woman. Even more importantly, Jesus pauses to specifically name her inclusion into God's family. "Daughter," he says to her, "daughter, your faith has made you well." He stopped. He talked to her. He saw her. He felt her. He touched her. Now, normally in Mark, This is about the time that Jesus asked the people to be quiet and not tell anybody about what they witnessed or how they were healed. But in this case, Jesus healed the woman in public, in front of a crowd. Not only does Jesus see her, but he wants to be sure that everyone else sees her. She is no longer unclean, but she's now part of society and one of God's daughters. She is fully healed. As Jesus is talking to the woman, news arrives that Jairus' 12-year-old daughter has succumbed to her illness. While Jesus paused to listen to this nameless, penniless, unclean woman, the daughter of this important, wealthy, religious leader has died. Now, to be fair, we don't know that Jairus' daughter would still be alive had Jesus not stopped to touch and heal the hemorrhagic woman. But when Jesus arrives, family, friends, and neighbors can be heard weeping the loss of this child. Jesus told the mourners that their grief was preemptive. The child's not dead, she's only sleeping. Right? Like, you think they didn't check first? Come on, Jesus. Maybe he said this in an attempt to not, like, raise suspicion about his ability to raise the dead. People knew he could heal, but bringing the dead back to life is a whole other level. Maybe he really did think that she was sleeping and not dead. Regardless, the mourners were sure that the little girl was not sleeping, and they laughed at Jesus for suggesting something so ridiculous. So Jesus is a skilled healer. He could have easily said a word from outside the house, but that is not Jesus' style. He brought the girl's parents with him as he went inside to see her. He wants to touch the unclean corpse. As he holds her hand and talks to her in her native language, "Talitha, kum, rise up, little girl." And she did. So fully restored was she that she was able to walk around and eat. Here's the thing. Although Jesus did heal individuals, Jesus' real purpose was to heal the systems that create outsiders. These systems say that, you know, there are some people that are unclean or undesirable. But Jesus came to show us that there are no outsiders or insiders, only God's children. We're all God's children. Just as the hemorrhagic woman was on the margins of society, there are a lot of people in our world, in this country, in our own city, that are clinging to the margins of society. Just like Tommy was clinging to the margins of society. It was only after Tommy was seen, touched, felt, that he was healed and was able to see, touch, feel, and heal others. I mean, there's a little more to that, but let's follow the metaphor as long as we can go. So why don't we take up the challenge to see, to touch, to feel, and heal the people around us that we see notice, that society has thrown out, the same way that Jesus sees, touches, feels, and heals each of us. Thanks be to God. Amen. If you would please stand and join me in our closing hymn, "He Touched Me." the friends, and a word of blessing. We have been touched and healed by Christ Jesus. Go out and touch and heal others. Amen.